Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Darts Podcast. We're going to look ahead to the World Grand Prix Darts. We'll be back in Dublin at the City West Hotel for a format that's not like any other. So let's get underway with it. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line is former Sky Sports commentator and darts expert for William Hill, John Gwynne. How are you, John?
I'm very well this morning, thank you. Better than I've been for a good few days with this sort of autumn flu that's been knocking about. But obviously a wonderful tournament. It's the longest gap in the darting televised calendar between the World Match Play, which was held in Blackpool in July, and this one. And to me, it starts the new season in a way, because it's non-stop action from the World Grand Prix through to the Grand Slam, of course sponsored by William Hill, the World Championships, the Premier League and so on. So I think all the players are raring to go, and I think that we're in for another wonderful year of darting entertainment. Though, of course, I won't be there myself, as you say. Former Sky Sports commentator, 20 fantastic years, and now it's, well, things are going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, how is retirement treating you anyway, John?
Well, I'll only find out now, won't I? Because there hasn't been any tournament that I would have worked on until now. And it's only in the next 8 days or so that I'll realise whether I'm missing it or whether I'm not, whether I made the right decision or not. And we'll see.
Okay. With regards to this tournament as well, John, the World Grand Prix is different to most tournaments, isn't it? Because they have to not only finish with a double, but they have to start with a double as well. And through the years, we've seen that cause a problem for a few players, haven't we?
Well, it is the way that darts originated. Most leagues originally in the very early days were played with a double start and a double finish. Usually, though, it was 3-0-1 rather than 5-0-1. And 5-0-1 with the straight start became the accepted part of the game, the universal game, with its emergence on television. And I'm going back a long time now when the News of the World tournament started. That was an old tournament that went on for many, many years. It was last played in 1997. And that became a national event. And, of course, as the game became more national and international, then it became standardised, 5-0-1, straight start, double finish. But the double start tournament always attracts viewers, it attracts audiences, the players. I'm not sure how much they actually like it, but it's the same for all of them, and they all know, the players, that if they're hot on their doubles, then they have a very good chance of becoming champion.
Yes, and particularly in the early rounds, you see there's only three sets and they have to start on a double. It can lead to some quite major casualties. Phil Taylor's gone out in the first round on three occasions. Both James Wade and Anderson, Gary Anderson, went out in the first round last year, didn't they? So it does have scope for surprise as well, doesn't it?
Yes, you're never home until you're dried. And whilst that's generally the case, even more so in this competition, because even though you only want perhaps one leg to polish off a match, you've still got to hit two doubles. And the other player can sneak up and you can be caught unawares. Well, if not unawares, you're very aware of what's going on. You can certainly be surprised by a sudden loss of form on the outer tram lines. And it's what makes this tournament unique, as you mentioned in your introduction. It's a very, very special tournament.
Okay, let's put some betting on it then. Let's talk about who we think might win the tournament. On the outright betting, John, Phil Taylor is the favourite. He's 2-1 to win this. He's won it 10 times in the past. Didn't win it last year, though. That was Michael Van Gerwen. He's 100-30, second favourite. Adrian Lewis is 7-1, Simon Whitlock 12s, James Wade 14s, Barney is 18-1. It's 22-1 for Chisnell. Andy Hamilton 33s, as is Gary Anderson and Peter Wright and Robert Thornton and Wes Newton. And then it's 40-1 or bigger prices the rest. Now Phil Taylor is coming into this in pretty good form. He won the Sydney Masters, didn't he? He sauntered into the final stages of the Championship League last week with several ton plus averages. He even hit a 9 darter as well. And do you think 2-1 to a decent price for Phil Taylor?
Probably so. Because, as you say, he's won this 10 times. The very first time it was run was in Rochester in Kent back in 1998. And it stayed there for 2 years. Taylor won it both times. Then it moved to Rosslare in the southeast of Ireland in 2000. And since 2001, when it moved to its current venue, it has stayed at the City West. Taylor's got a fantastic record in the competition, and that's because he's been so dominant in the sport. But he's not as dominant in the sport now as he was, though he's still, I think, everybody's prime target and the one that they all have to beat. 2-1 for Taylor was unheard of 5 years ago. It would have been even money, Taylor, maybe 4-5-1 the field, the rest. But things have closed up, and Taylor's not the certainty that he used to be. Even so, I think 2-1 is quite a tempting price. And I can think of a few of my mates who'll say, yeah, I'm going for that. And I know one in particular who backs Taylor. He'll be putting money on that big time.
Okay, so Taylor, a good price on that too. So Michael Van Gerwen, then, the reigning champion, he's at 100-30. I must admit, I did think he'd be a little bit shorter than 100-30. I thought he'd be closer to Taylor in the betting.
Well, when you think of it, 2-1, 3-1, 3 1/3-1, bearing in mind the quality of the entire field, you've got to be wary because somebody else will catch you on the blind side. The shorter the price on Taylor and Van Gerwen, it stands to sense that there's going to be longer prices on certain other players. So I think you've got to be very wary, and I think the bookmakers, the compilers, have been very aware of that. And I think Van Gerwen 100-30 represents a reasonably fair price, given that he hasn't been as predominant in the last 6 months of 2013 as he was in the first 6 months, and therefore, maybe I should say the last 4 months that we've had, but therefore I think that's about right. And there are other players whom we're going to discuss who are not out of this.
Okay, Adrian Lewis is next in the betting. He's 7-1, and whilst he enjoyed quite a long period on the cold list, I suppose you could say, he wasn't playing particularly well. The last few months has been encouraging for Adrian Lewis.
Oh yes, I'm very impressed with the way that Lewis suddenly has picked himself up, because he was on the start possibly of a downward spiral, but he's found his form. He won a major event over the weekend at the City West, one of the players' championships, the one that was played on Saturday. Incidentally, he came from three legs down to beat Brendan Dolan 6-4, and he plays Dolan in the first round. Different format, but that augurs well for the Englishman. He's in good form now, and that will have stood him in good stead. Anybody who's done well over the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, will come into this tournament with added confidence and the desire to want to get up on that hockey and perform. It makes a world of difference if you've just had a degree of success.
Okay, Simon Whitlock is 12-1. He's a model of consistency when it comes to hitting the doubles, isn't he? He's a kind of player that you could back in this and be relatively confident that he's going to play his game most of the time. But what do you make of Simon Whitlock?
Well, that's a very good question, because I'm not sure what I do make of Simon Whitlock. Simon's a great friend and a super guy. He's one of the most fierce competitors on the circuit, and he's one who has more self-belief than most. I think that Whitlock, at his very best, will always be a threat. But we haven't seen, in the last 4 or 5 tournaments from Whitlock, that which we saw prior to last year, well, prior to the Premier League, where he didn't qualify for the later stages. Some sort of edge has gone out of his game. And I think until he rediscovers that, he's going to find it hard to advance in tournaments like this. That having been said, he could rediscover it this week. It might be just what he needs, the double start, for instance, the added difficulty of the double start might just play into his hands and give him that which he needs. Because there's no doubt about it, he's one of the best players in the world. But in my view, he hasn't shown that consistently for quite some months. But who knows, this might be the week.
Okay, James Wade is a risky one maybe for me at 14-1. He's only returned from a four tournament suspension. He didn't play particularly well in this last year. He went out in the first round, and you never really know what James Wade's going to turn up at the moment. What do you make of him?
He's the most difficult one to determine really in terms of his chances, simply because of the effect of the ban. Not just the fact that he's been off competitive darts for quite a little while, but the psychological effect it will have on him. He comes up in the first round against Steve Beaton, who's just won his first major title for Yonks. The German Darts Masters played brilliantly in that, I believe. So he'll come into this tournament with confidence. And Wade's going to have to dig deep, I think, even to get to round two. I think he can do. But his tournament chances as a whole, he does like Dublin. He does do well here. The double start does seem to suit him. But there's other niggling factors that make it difficult to back him with confidence.
Okay, and Raymond van Barneveld, then he's 18-1 shot. A player you can rely on to hit the doubles, and when Barney turns it on, we know there's not many better than him when he's really flying. What do you make of Barney at 18-1?
That's probably the best value on offer in terms of decent prices, other than single odds prices. Simply because he comes into this tournament on the back of winning the Players' Championship in Dublin on Sunday. I mentioned Adrian Lewis won the Saturday event. Barneveld was in brilliant form on Sunday. Beat Peter Wright, snakebite, in the final. Brilliant darts, and all the way through the tournament, both Peter Wright and Raymond van Barneveld threw quite outstandingly. And don't underestimate these tournaments. They're not on television, but they're highly, highly competitive. You get 128 really good players in them, PDC players. And to win one really does give a player a sense of self-belief, a sense of self-confidence, and a great benefit to their self-esteem, which is an important factor. And Barney will go into this tournament with real self-belief. And if there's a player who needs self-belief, then he is one, certainly. I think Gary Anderson's another who really does thrive on self-belief. And they can... We've seen it, haven't we, where they can suddenly start doubting themselves and have little belief in themselves. Barney will be full of confidence, and 18-1 is a generous each-way bet. He's in the other half to Phil Taylor, though it does mean he's in the same half as Michael van Gerwen, and I think the two meet in the second round if they both win their first-round games. That's a good time for Barney to meet van Gerwen. Good value, 18-1. Good each-way bet.
Okay, so Barney's a good each way bet at 18-1. It's 22-1 or bigger prices, those six, John. Anybody else you'd look at as an each way bet that we haven't mentioned?
Possibly Andy Hamilton, always a dangerous man. There's people like Robert Thornton, who I think was a semi finalist last year, knocked Phil Taylor out on the way. Always worth looking at, though my money won't be on them personally. But that you've got to mention players like Hamilton and Mervyn King, Ronnie Baxter, Colin Lloyd. I can't see either of those doing particularly well. Terry Jenkins, never quite sure what's going to come from Terry these days. Still a great player, but I'm not sure he's got that extra gear that he did have. And other players, well, Wes Newton is one I shouldn't miss. He's had a great time, great year, Premier League, really enjoyed it. And yet to win a major. I can't see this one being Wes Newton's competition. But he certainly can be a force to be reckoned with. Plays Peter Wright in the first round. Some game, that.
Will be some game. As a summary then, John, what would you who would your money be on if you're having a bet in the outright market?
My main bet would be £5,000 on Phil Taylor. Actually, £50 on Phil Taylor to win 100. And my each-way bet would be Barney at 18-1. And if they met in the final, then it would be great because I would be in a position where I couldn't lose. Because they're in opposite halves of the draw. I think that's my bet. And I'll be going into William Hills this morning. Monday morning it is, as we have this chat. I'll be going into William Hills to put my money on that. £50 on Taylor and 15 each way on Barney at 18-1. That'll be a bob or two. That'll do. Take care of my Christmas shopping.
Yes, get them two to the final and you'd be laughing, Johnny. It'd be all right, wouldn't it? Let's move on then to the quarter betting, because whilst the outright betting is good if you fancy somebody to win it, if you fancy somebody to go quite far in the competition but not necessarily win it, the quarter betting is quite a good way to do it. So we'll go through those. And the first one is, I'll go through the players and the prices and you can tell us who you fancy in each, John. So Simon Whitlock is 7-4, James Wade 9-4, Terry Jenkins 7-1, Ronnie Baxter 8-1, Colin Lloyd 9-1, Steve Beaton is also 9s, Connie Finnan is 28-1, and Michael Manson 33-1 in that. That's the second quarter, isn't it? I don't know why I've gone to the second quarter.
Yes, don't
quarter
worry. Let's discuss that second quarter first, then. And the winner of Wade and Beaton, I think, has an excellent chance of winning that quarter. Although, I've already mentioned Simon Whitlock. If he clicks, I think probably... Is he favourite to win that quarter? Or is Wade?
Whitlock, 7-4 favourite.
Yes. So, and I think probably justifiably so. But Terry Jenkins is lurking there. Given that I believe Terry Jenkins will beat Conny Finnegan, one of the Irish players, in the first round, I think that... and then meets the winner of Wade and Beaton, I think, in the second round. Whatever. I think that Jenkins is probably a better price, better value than Whitlock. It's tough, but all these quarters are tough, aren't they?
They are, and the first quarter will be tough for a lot of players. Phil Taylor is the favourite in that one, 10-11 market leader. Gary Anderson 7-1, Wes Newton 9s, Peter Wright is also 9s, as is Robert Thornton. Jamie Cavan is 12-1, Paul Nicholson 14-1, Neela Clarkson is 16-1 in that quarter.
Yeah, well, obviously Taylor, favourite to win the tournament, is definitely favourite to win that quarter. He's got a tough first round game against Jamie Cavan, but I think he can come through it. But he knows how vulnerable he can be in the first round. We go back to Kevin Painter in 2001, Andy Callaby 3 years later, and then Adrian Gray in 2007. And he knows how vulnerable he is in that best of three sets and with the double start as well. So he's not going to have an easy first round game against Jamie Cavan. So others you may look at Newton, you may look at Gary Anderson. I'm not convinced with Gary Anderson. I just feel that Neela Clarkson might actually beat him in the first round, which in a way is sad for Gary Anderson and his fans, of course, because he's such a wonderful player, but he really does need a victory from somewhere, a tournament win, in order to restore confidence. And Clarkson, you know, can really hit them. That quarter, you've got to go with Taylor. But if Taylor were to be surprisingly knocked out by Jamie Cavan, then I'd be inclined to go for either the winner of the Wes Newton-Peter Wright game.
Okay, on to the third quarter then. This is a tricky old quarter. Michael van Gerwen is 11-8 and Raymond van Barneveld 4-1. Dave Chisnell's also 4s, Mervyn King 8-1, Ian White is 12-1, John Part 16-1, Wayne Jones is 25-1, and Stuart Kellett is also 25-1.
What a four matches this is. I mean, you've got players there. Ian White, you know, won a Players' Championship tournament not long ago. His first for ages, and really threw quite outstandingly. He is some player, and he takes on Dave Chisnall, who recently also won his first Pro Tour tournament for a good while. Barney, I've already mentioned at length, current champion, Players' Champion, from as recently as Sunday. And then Michael van Gerwen and John Part. Well, whilst I do think van Gerwen will do John Part will love meeting van Gerwen over best of three sets because he knows it gives him a chance. But I think John Part will be commentating by the second round, sitting in the seat that I used to occupy. That's being cruel, really. But at least to be kind, because he's a great commentator, John. And so for that quarter, it's the winner, in my opinion, of van Gerwen and van Barneveld, because I think Barney will win his first round tie against Stuart Kellett, who tends to suffer from stage fright when he goes on the big stage. So I'm going to take van Gerwen to play Barney, although I would never dismiss the winner of Chisnall and White and Wayne Jones and Mervyn King easily. But the winner, I think it'll be either van Gerwen or van Barneveld, and the value is with van Barneveld. If I backed him 18-1 outright, what's the point of me backing him 4-1 to win his quarter? Because I'm not, well, maybe I should, in case he doesn't reach the semis. At least I've got something back. Mm-hmm. There's still value there. But it's your odds there reflect the difficulty of determining who's going to do what.
Yeah, it really is a tricky quarter, that that third quarter.
It is. It's the trickiest of them all, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And the fourth quarter, John, is Adrian Lewis's quarter. He's the 5-4 favourite. Andy Hamilton, 9-2. King Huybrechts is 13-2. Justin Pipe, 7s. Kevin Payne to 8s. Brendan Dolan, 16-1. Richard Burnett is also 16s. And Andy Smith is 20-1.
Yeah, I think this is Lewis's. I really think this is Lewis's all the way. That's a good game, Andy Hamilton against Kim Huybrechts. Painter and Burnett is a throwback to the past. If you go back to the Embassy World Championships of round about the late 90s, you'll find Painter and Burnett were regulars. Great names. Real throwback. Lewis and Dolan. I've got to fancy Lewis there. Brendan Dolan loves this venue. Did the nine darter 2 years ago. I no doubt Sky will play it over and over again. So I will be there in a sense because I commentated on that one. And Pipe and Smith. I think the winner of Pipe and Smith. Pipe not playing as well at the moment as we know he can. Difficult player to overcome, though. I think this is Lewis, personally. I think he'll beat Dolan, and I really don't see any of the others being a serious threat to Lewis in this quarter. What are his odds?
Adrian Lewis, 5-4.
Yeah, odds against. I think that's Lewis's quarter.
Okay, Adrian Lewis in that quarter then. Let's just spin through a few matches as well, John, before you go. We'll pick out a few of the better matches and any that you've got a strong opinion in. The first one we'll look at is Simon Whitlock against Michael Mansell. That's at 9:30 on Monday evening. Whitlock is 2-9, Mansell is 16-5. But you can do correct scores and everything else. So what do you fancy for this one, John?
Well, I fancy Whitlock to beat Michael Mansell. He's a decent player, Michael Mansell, but I don't think he's got the solidity to his game, which is perhaps another way of saying consistency. Really, it's how you respond when you go a set down. And if Whitlock went a set down, you would say, well, he can still win it. If Mansell went a set down, you'd say there's no way back. That's the difference between them. I think Whitlock will win this one.
Okay, would you back him in straights or would you go 2-1?
I'd be inclined to go 2-0.
2-0, yeah. 5-6 for 2-0, so a little bit more value than in the 2-9 price. We'll go on to the next one then. James Wade against Steve Beaton. That's at 10 o'clock. James Wade is 4-11. Steve Beaton, 21-10. James Wade to win 2-0 is 5-4, and to win 2-1 is 11-5. Beaton to win 2-0 is 5-1, and to win 2-1 is 4-1. So, like we mentioned, James Wade, he need to win this, won't he? And try and... I suppose, salvage a bit of... or make up for lost time, I suppose.
Yes, I think that's a good way of putting it. And salvaging is a good word because his career has been bumpy, hasn't it, in the last year or two. And he's playing against a man who's just won the German Darts Masters, apparently through really, really well, and who will come into this game with real confidence. But Steve Beaton... is one of those players who blows hot and cold, and didn't surprise me that he won that event. What has surprised me is it's taken him so long to win an event, though the competition now is really intense. I think Wade in the end will come through this, but I think Beaton will take a set. And it might be close, and it might be that some people will be tempted by Beaton's odds against, because when you've won the German Masters, you are... a formidable opponent for anybody, especially over best of three sets. But I'm going to take Wade to win it 2-1.
Okay, Wade to win it 2-1 is 11-5. Phil Taylor also plays on Monday evening. He starts at 10:30. He takes on Jamie Cavan. It's 2-9 for Phil Taylor. Jamie Cavan is 16-5. Can you oppose Phil Taylor here, John?
It's difficult to oppose Phil Taylor, though Phil Taylor will be wary of Jamie Cavan, who has... really surprised me and a lot of other people with the way that his game has come on in the last 18 months to 2 years. He's full of confidence. He's had a book written. And the lads really, really impressed me and impressed others. And Cavan will not go into this game believing that he's a loser. Cavan goes into the game believing that he can beat Taylor. And that's so important. And therefore, he's going to give Phil Taylor a run for his money. Whether he can win a set, I don't know. But if he does, then Taylor could be in big trouble because it will still play on his mind that this is where he's at his most vulnerable in the first round of the World Grand Prix. His first round record is not great. Having said that, when he's got past the first round, then he's marched on. I'm going to take Taylor to win it. But I have a sneaking feeling that Cavan will take a set here. And you might get decent odds for 2-1.
Yeah, 5-2.
Yes. And therefore, it might be worth having a little side bet for Cavan to win 2-1. Because if he's capable of winning a set, then he's capable of winning the match.
Okay, yeah.
If you see my logic.
I do, yes. So you could Dutch Cavan 2-1 and Taylor 2-1, 5-2 and 6-1 respectively. And think that it could be a bit of a close one.
Yes, and when it goes one apiece, you sit back and you think, they're both playing for me now.
Yeah, good stuff, John. On to the next one then. Stuart Kellett against Raymond van Barneveld. This is at 10:30 on Tuesday evening. Kellett is 12-5 and Barney is 1-3. You've mentioned that you're with Barney each way, so you must expect him to win this.
Yes, and Stuart Kellett is a player who came across from the BDO a couple of years ago. Has appeared on television in the World Championship and in the World Match Play. But I'm afraid he has suffered from stage fright and hasn't been able to show what his true qualities are. He beat Barney not long ago, you know, in a Players' Championship encounter a couple of weeks back. And therefore, he has that fresh in his mind. But Barney, having won that event in Dublin on Sunday, will be ready for Kellett. Now, I really can't see Stuart Kellett winning a set. I can see him winning a leg or two, but not a set. 2-0 to Barney.
Okay, 2-0 to Barney is 11-10. And then Michael van Gerwen then against John Part, that's at 11 o'clock. Van Gerwen, of course, the defending champion. He's 1-6. I think he might be the shortest player in the first round. John Part is 4-1. 1-6 correct odds for van Gerwen?
Not in a best of three double start, no. No. People who take that will be risking huge amounts of money. I can't see too many people going for that. because John Part is such a mature, seasoned player. He won't be fazed by the fact that he's playing Van Gerwen. Van Gerwen has the added quality, because John Part isn't the player who won the World Championship just over 10 years ago. But he's still a formidable opponent. And 1-6, no way. I can't take 4-1 Part, because I think Van Gerwen will win. But I wouldn't want to risk a lot of money that you would need to risk in order to make it worthwhile. Not even in accumulator bets, because it just ain't worth it. In the old days, when you had 10% tax, 9% tax, you used to throw in the 1-6s, the Rangers versus Adrianians on the football coupon, because you thought, well, that pays my tax. But since tax went long ago, Gordon Brown got rid of it, one of the good things he did do, then to me it's not worth putting them in.
Okay. Anybody who thinks Van Gerwen will win and wants to back him, 2-0 is 8-13 and 2-1 is 5-2 for Michael Van Gerwen to win there. And Adrian Lewis against Brendan Dolan then. This is at 11:30. Adrian Lewis is 1-3. Brendan Dolan 12-5. Who do you like for this?
The crowd will be certainly with Dolan. They absolutely love him. He's from Northern Ireland rather than the Republic, though if he walks 100 yards over the bridge, he goes into the Republic. That's how close he is. They absolutely love him, so they'll go wild, and they'll be anti-Lewis. Although Lewis has his fans, he's quite popular. But they'll be wanting Dolan to win this, and Adrian has met with that sort of thing before. We all remember the Gary Anderson Premier League match in Glasgow. It won't be as bad as that was, where they were throwing coins onto the stage. It was disgraceful, the behaviour there. But anyway, that's another thing. He won't meet with that, but they'll be pretty ferocious. But he can cope with it. He beat him, as I say, in the Players' Championship final on Saturday at the City West. So coming from 3-0 down, beat him 6-4. So, and both players threw very, very well, by the way. So this could be a really good match. But I've got to take Lewis, and probably by 2-0.
Okay, Lewis by 2-0 is at 10-11. Plenty of other good games, but we can't go through them all, unfortunately. But any other matches stand out to you in the first round that you've got an opinion on, John?
Tuesday night, Chisnell and White. There's a poem. Tuesday night, Chisnell and White. Don't miss it. That'll be a cracker. Painter and Burnett, as I say, is a blast from the past. You could show footage probably of those two meeting 15 years ago in the BDO days. Other games, if I go back to Monday, Thornton and Paul Nicholson, two great friends. I was in an exhibition with the two of them, comparing an exhibition in the Borders in Gala Shields recently, and they said it's going to be difficult because they're great mates, and yet when they go up there, they've got to play each other in one of the biggest tournaments in the world. And that's where professionalism comes in. You've got to beat your granny and not have any sort of feel any emotion about it. And that's how these two will be. So some great games. I'm looking forward to them, Newton and Wright. I've probably gone through all of them now anyway, because they're all really, really good games. And I don't know how much of it I'm going to be watching, but I'll certainly be keeping in touch with it.
Okay, well, good stuff, John. Thank you very much for speaking to us. Enjoy what you do see of it then, and we're going to speak to you again ahead of the second round.
Thank you, Mark. Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.